most everybody is fond of and appreciates what you might call the all-in-one, that multitasking, multifunction resource or device or gadget or tool that does a lot of different things for you, all in a neat little package. The ubiquitous examples might be the Swiss Army knife or the phrase jack of all trades. At the library, we appreciate all-in-one resources. Of course, our computers are the epitome of an all-in-one resource. We use those every hour of every day that we work. In addition to those computers, however, we also have a number of print resources that also will capture a multitude of different types of information all in one volume or all in one set of volumes. Now, while one of these print resources may not contain nearly the same amount of information as a computer can have access to these days, in some cases these print resources are organized more logically or more clearly so that you can actually access the information more easily and sometimes more quickly than using a computer. Today we're going to discuss an all-in-one resource that you can access through print form or on a computer. This resource is something that anyone who has sat in a high school science class has seen before, and most of us have utilized this resource as part of our lessons in said high school. This resource could also be called the epitome of an all-in-one, because if you look around you, everything you see is built from the stuff that is contained on this one simple chart. Because, of course, we're discussing the periodic table this month, and oh, the stories that it could tell you. Welcome to the Nordonia Hills Branch Library Podcast on Nonfiction, a discussion of nonfiction specifically and reading generally. Today we're going back to visit the science department, the 500s for those of you who are still following along with Melville Dewey's fabulous decimal system. It's been a while since we've discussed the natural sciences on the podcast, but we do like to try and spread our attention throughout the nonfiction section and not just concentrate or gravitate towards those Dewey numbers that tend to pop up more often than others, the 700s, the 900s, the 300s, etc. The book we're discussing today is The Disappearing Spoon and Other True Tales of Madness, Love, and the History of the World from the Periodic Table of the Elements. This book was written by Sam Keen. The author discusses in his introduction how he first became fascinated by the elements, as it were, by observing the behavior of mercury from a broken thermometer. Most people, especially kids, if they see mercury laying on the floor or on a table in its uncontained state, so to speak, are fascinated by the way it behaves. With its liquid form at room temperature, it doesn't just flow all over the table or all over the floor. It forms a tidy little sphere which can be rolled around. Of course, you never would want to do that because mercury is toxic. Bring up the topic of playing with mercury among a group of mixed-aged people, and of course you're going to generate the ubiquitous "back in my day" story of "we used to play with mercury at recess, on the way to school, after dinner, during lunch periods, whenever we felt like it." I've heard many the mercury was the universal plaything stories a number of times throughout my life. Of course, sheer hyperbole, but always humorous to hear one of these stories come up, just out of the blue, organically, no pun intended. Anyway, back to the author. From this early fascination with mercury and the elements, he generated himself a career in the sciences. Went to school, got his degrees and whatnot, and eventually he wrote the book that we're discussing today. He said he realized that there's a funny, odd, or chilling tale attached to just about every element on the periodic chart. From chapter 1, he presents what most people think of when they think of the periodic table. His first sentence. When most people think of the periodic table, they remember a chart hanging on the front wall of their high school chemistry class, an asymmetric expanse of columns and rows looming over one of the teacher's shoulders. Oddly lopsided, like a castle. And yet within that framework, it is logically and systematically arranged. And this book goes about explaining both how the chart developed and the table evolved, as well as the stories behind the elements that are contained on the table. It is not dry science. This is not a book that you have to go running to the exits because you can't get through it. It's told in a very conversational style and contains a lot of interesting and fascinating stories, as the author promises. Now, some people might already know some stories revolving around a specific element or two. You may have heard the phrase, mad as a hatter, and some people may have heard the reason behind the phrase. That the people who used to be hat makers, when dealing with the felts or the furs that go into making hats, they had to bathe or soak some of these in mercury. And after a while, that exposure to mercury actually did affect their nervous system and made them, quote, mad as a hatter. So people may have heard of that story, but did you also hear the story of silicon chips? Those things which are so ubiquitous and the basis for our computer-based culture these days were in actuality a pretty tough nut to crack. Silicon is plentiful and cheap, one of the reasons we use it in the computers these days. But when they were first setting out to replace vacuum tubes and more bulky and wired parts to computing devices, they tried silicon chips. They couldn't make it work. But some bright person actually decided to do the same thing with another element on the chart, germanium, and was successful. It was from the success in germanium that allowed them to transfer that work to silicon, and thus you have all the computers that are in use today worldwide. Of course, this book has a periodic table in there for your reference, and also is divided into different chapters, which, of course, the author amusingly names. Chapters such as Take Two Elements and Call Me in the Morning, and The Poisoner's Corridor. There are 19 chapters divided among 5 sections of the book, and the author does a pretty good job of covering most of the elements on the periodic table. You'll be introduced to people and scientists, people like Robert Bunsen, who is fond of experimenting in arsenic, also had a predilection for studying geysers, and was amused by natural explosions, which he tried to duplicate in his lab. At one point, one of his explosions cost him the use of his right eye for the last 60 years of his life. But Mr. Bunsen also perfected the burner, which is named after him, and he invented the first spectroscope, which allows scientists or chemists to determine what elements are contained in materials. You also will hear the story of certain places, like the fascinating story of a little town in Sweden on the coast called Itterby, where 7 different elements trace their discovery or lineage back to this little town and its mine. From this spot on the globe came the discoveries of terbium, thulium, gadolinium, and 4 other elements. There is no place on Earth which is associated with the discovery of more elements than this single town in Sweden. You hear the stories behind the keeping of weights and measures for a country, the atomic clocks and how those run, the tragic story of Robert Falcon Scott and the discovery of the South Pole in Antarctica, and how the misjudged use of one element in their supplies may have caused the failure of the expedition and led to the death of Scott and his 4 companions. The author keeps the chapters flowing right along, a nice, easy reading style, and he never focuses too long on any one element that the reader becomes bored. He's always moving on to the next topic, the next element on the chart. Even with all the stories and anecdotes in this 350-page book, the author posits that there are still more discoveries, new discoveries, and surprises on the periodic table, even today. There are new elements still being discovered, and there are new things that we discover about individual elements. And the research goes on with scientists all over the world today. Our library would contain many books that would be more technical on the subject of the elements and the periodic table, but I'd be hard-pressed to find a better book on the stories behind the periodic table and its elements than Sam Keane's The Disappearing Spoon. This book is highly recommended, both for the armchair scientist as well as for anyone who wants to learn more about the things that make up our world. Join us again next month when we'll have another topic to discuss on nonfiction. Until then, we will see you at your Nordonia Hills Branch Library. Music by 20 Riverside, provided by Mevio's Music Alley. Music.mevio.com. Thank you for listening.